Looking forward to your contributions to this topic. How to adapt for a breakthrough in your life during World Creativity Week. Michael, good evening to you, sir, and really thank you very much for joining us this evening. We've just had a very interesting conversation about grace, and you asked the question, or you're saying how to adapt for a breakthrough in your life during World Creativity Week. I feel like an evangelical sort of show today happening. Good evening to you, Mike.
Evangelical.
Yeah, you know, finding breakthroughs and all sorts of wonderful, graceful things, yeah?
Wonderful. That's good because, yeah, I mean, that's what life's about, right?
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more. First of all, let's talk about Creativity Week, World Creativity and Innovation Week. Just remind us again what that is all about, and then let's go into that topic.
Well, you did a pretty good job of summarizing it. What I would add a couple things into what you said is spot on point. What's interesting about it is it was started, about 20 years ago, originally in May, and then they quickly shifted it to April 21st in the second year that it was held. And the reason they put it on April 21st is that April 22nd is Earth Day, right? And so the idea was to have Creativity Day be something that is dedicated to doing something evangelical, right? Something that actually has an impact on an important thing in the world. It's not just, ooh, we can create things. It's actually, you can use creativity to solve the world's problems.
Right.
So the idea was Creativity Day is on the 21st and Earth Day is on the 22nd. They've both become by now UN days of observation, and they are now World Creativity Innovation Week, as you said, runs from the 15th of April, which is Leonardo da Vinci's birthday. So that was quite fortuitous that is exactly a week before the 21st. So the entire week, as you already pointed out, is dedicated to celebrating creativity in all its aspects and innovation. What they've so far left out is adaptability, which has become a rising star in the workplace. And, you know, as part of the training that I do, I've, the three of those things really go together. So hopefully someday it'll be all three being celebrated this week, you know?
Yeah. The 15th of April is the birthday of Leonardo da Vinci?
Uh-huh.
Wow, I mean, it's my daughter's birthday.
There you go. Your daughter is
and she's got a bit of an artistic bent about her. So maybe there's something about that date. And then of course the 21st is my birthday. So maybe
the 21st is your birthday?
Yeah. So the 21st is my birthday. So I'm looking at these dates and thinking, well, now, hey. So talk to me. I mean, they've left what's the right word? Adaptability out of the conversation.
Adaptability. Well, I mean, it began as Creativity Week. It began as Creativity Day. It became Creativity and Innovation Day. It became Creativity and Innovation Week. And now, in fact, they've changed the name of the organization, which is an actual organization. Based out of Miami University in Ohio, they've changed the name to World Creativity, can't even say it, and Innovation without the week or day, because the next step they want is just to celebrate creativity and innovation all the time, right? So there'll still be the day and there'll still be the week, but then after the 21st, it doesn't end, which is good because my birthday is the 25th. So it means absolutely nothing until they open the year up, and then it's accelerating that. In fact, we're having an event tomorrow, which we talk about later. But Dr. Tu Nakwe is with us at the event, and her birthday is the day before mine. It's we've been friends for a long time, and we always have the birthdays the day after each other. So it's interesting though that you were born on World Creativity Day, Aubrey. But the point is that, I guess, adaptability, as this grows and decreases, I personally believe adaptability is the missing piece.
Yeah.
Right? And the reason I say that is that adaptability, and we talked about this, last time I was with you, but adaptability is about shifting who you're being, right? And creativity is about shifting what you're thinking. And in order to shift what you're thinking, you have to shift who you're being first, right? That's how you shift your thoughts, is you shift your actual reality. So if you're a jealous person, you'll have jealous thoughts, right? If you're a you're a generous person, you have generous thoughts. So if you want to solve a problem that, or a challenge that you're facing, a lot of the time why you're not getting the ideas you need is because of who you're being about the problem, right? Mm. So you need to shift that. And by the way, I'm really glad that you asked people to participate in the conversation, because I think it'd be fun tonight, if we could, to get somebody on here to bring us a real challenge they're stuck on, and let's get them to adapt it.
So right? If I understand you correctly, this World Creativity Day week is really about not only celebrating our creative faculties, but understanding it as a very real tool for the solving of the world's problems. That if we allow ourselves to be creative, if we dive into the wells and the pools of creativity, we have a good chance of being able to solve many, many different problems. That's the first thing. But you say a very interesting thing, that creativity and innovation is about changing the way that you think, and adaptability is about changing the way that you are, the way that you show up. And you seem to put an order to that, that first you've got to change the way that you are in order to be able to think in a particular orientation. Some people might argue that it should be the other way around, that you've got to start thinking in a particular way, and then only then do you become. Talk to me about that, Mike.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the traditional way we often think about things, right? Is that becoming something happens at the end of the process, but that's not accurate, right? Because if you're a generous person, that happens inside you. And what generates our thoughts is not, it doesn't just, you know, they don't just arise out of nowhere. They arise out of the place. And they arise out of the place that we are as who we are being. It might seem a bit esoteric, right?
Yeah.
Because the action, the innovation part is actually action, right? Innovation is about doing something differently. And I mean, there's about 1,000 definitions for innovation, about 3,000 for creativity. But the ones that I use, as you know, are the simplest ones I've ever come across, which is that simple. Creativity is thinking differently from yourself, from being able to be flexible in your thinking. And innovation is the same about acting differently. And when that's the cycle I'm talking about. So, I mean, someone might argue that you have to think before you can be, but I just don't buy it. It's not psychologically sound. It's just not true. You know, who we are in our core, ourself, the things that we would describe ourselves. Sure, we see them in our actions, right? We see them. If I say, hey, Aubrey's an intelligent guy because he does intelligent things, you know, or he's a shrewd character because he does shrewd things, or he's a nasty person, you know, any of those things. I witness them from outside by seeing what you do, but the chain of command that goes across to that action begins with inside yourself being that person, triggering a thought. That thought then gets you to do the thing or not do it, you know?
So I imagine, and by the way, folks, give us a call, 011-883-0702. There is a whole plethora of challenges out there in the world, from the big, big ones, world hunger, whatever, you make your choice, to I suppose, the small ones, how to wake up on time, Aubrey, you know? All of those are big challenges that we need to find solutions for. And Mike is suggesting that perhaps if we start thinking creatively, if we are more creative, more innovative, more adaptable, that maybe that some of those problems, or maybe even all of those problems, could be solved in a positive and sustainable way. And I'm interested to find out from you, I suppose, starting from the whole idea of, do you think yourself into being the person that you are? Or are you the person that you are first, and then you think the thoughts of that person? How do you become the person that you desire to be? Do you think it? How do you become it? Mike, maybe I should ask you, how do you become a more conscientious person about time? How do you become that? Do you have to think about it first? And is that creative? How do you become that?
Well, that's a wonderful question, and I want to go backwards for a second, if we could, and just address the first thing you raised about, because you kind of jumped over it, about, you know, solving the world's problems, right? I mean, imagine if we were really, because, you know, over 70% of companies report that they don't consider themselves adaptable, and that roughly the similar number of individuals that have been surveyed say the same thing. Now, imagine if people were really, really super adaptable. In other words, whatever comes our way, we can shift to meet it where it wants to be met, where it needs to be met, right? I'm sure you've had the experience where things don't go the way you want.
Sure.
You try to hold on to the way you want it to be, and you try to do things the way that you think you should do them, and it just doesn't work, right? And it's just, you keep fighting against that. But sometimes you just realize, like, you know what, the way that the goal I'm trying to get to, or the thing I'm trying to achieve, can happen in a way that doesn't seem like the way I think it should happen. And, you know, I'm dealing with that right now with this event we're doing tomorrow. My team around it has done things in ways that I would have never wanted them to do, but it's working in its own way, and it's happened. And like, and I've had to start to learn to be adaptable because, you know, like in ways that I realized I wasn't being adaptable. Because imagine, what would the Middle East crisis look like if everybody in the Middle East could adapt to each other, could actually adapt to understand one another, to actually be willing to think differently, be differently, you know, act differently based on not being right, you know?
And not
insisting that they have, you know, you have the answer. So to jump from there to the second question you asked, it's a hard thing to do because we are literally addicted to who we are, right? Like it's very important to us who we are. We think there's a mythology that we have that who we are is an accident and we have nothing to do with it. When in fact, we designed ourselves, and the single most creative thing you will ever do is what you've already done, is create Aubrey Masango, right? You did that. And it
was it a conscious thing?
Well, no, primarily not, right? Primarily it wasn't. Primarily, don't you feel like you and most people have the impression that it's your parents that made you this way, or it's the way that the people taught you to be at school? I mean, we don't mostly. There's subconscious in there, right? It's some decisions you made about things that you really carefully thought through. But most of the time, we've created ourselves over a long time, and now we're in this illusion that that thing is that who we are is some kind of, you know, stuck thing that it just. It's impossible to shift because that's who Aubrey is, or that's who Michael is, and there's no changing that, you know.
Yeah.
And that's actually not true at all. But it's just a habit that we have.
Yeah.
There's a great book by James.
I've heard myself say, sorry, Mike. I've heard myself say, that's just me, you know. That's just me. And in a way, it's cornering yourself into a particular intransigence. That I can't change because that's just me. And you're saying to me that the person that you are now is something that can change. There is the faculty of adaptability that we don't use because we've conned ourselves to believe that we are a static thing that can't change and that our identity is static and cast in stone. And you're saying that that is not necessarily true?
Exactly. You said it perfectly. You've said it ideally. It is a habit. And there's a book I was going to say, there's a book called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Dr. Joe Dispenza. It's a fabulous book because it really talks about how the self is a habit. You know, it's not a static thing. And he uses quantum physics as a metaphor for the idea that nothing is what it is. Everything is based on the way it's perceived.
Yeah.
You know, everything exists only in its being witnessed and perceived. So it's the same with the self. We only exist as a static self because we perceive ourselves as that. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's easy to do, but to answer your question, how do you shift being yourself? You do it all the time. You know, you're probably a different person with your children than you are with your mother, you know? You're a different person with your if you go meet your boss in a stressful situation, then the person is going to discipline you, or you think you're going to get fired, you become a different person than if you're at a birthday party, you know, yeah, for your best friend. So we do it all the time, constantly. We shift who we are, right? But the idea of doing it on purpose is very tricky, because we do it by accident, because we do it in order to achieve the solution to a problem, right? I'm going to go into a situation with my boss. I'm going to try to figure out how to behave in a way that's going to work for that situation.
Yeah.
Or sometimes we do it to create problems, because, you know, for example, you're going to get in an argument with somebody, but you just can't avoid it because they're just so wrong. What they think is so wrong. So you're going to go into that with an aggressive feeling, but in another situation with your wife, you might, go in with a loving feeling. So it's what we do as human beings. It's the one thing we do that other animals really don't. You know, my dogs do not have any ability to change the way they behave or think or do things. They're pretty much response mechanisms, right? And the other thing is, like, if you deal with like mental health issues, we have these things called triggers, right?
Yeah.
People say, you triggered me, right?
Yeah.
I was dealing with that with somebody today. Oh, you're really triggering me. And it's like, well, when you're mentally unhealthy, those triggers are hard to get upset about, or, you know, be blame somebody for, because they're dealing with a mental imbalance. But when people say they get triggered, and they're not mentally unhealthy, it's just a bunch of lies. They're not getting triggered. They're choosing to react a certain way. It's a habit, right? And so the solution to adapting when you're not adapting begins with realizing that you have the ability to do it. And then you can literally select. In the training that I do, we train people to select the identity that you can actually bring to the party for the solution of the problem. Because if there's something you're stuck on, this is where I'd love a listener to call in and actually bring us a real problem. Because if you're stuck on something, right? You're stuck because it's you that's stuck. It's your identity that's stuck. If you have a different identity, a different approach, you might find the appropriate solution to that thing.
Give us a call, 011-883-0702. What is that challenge, that problem that you are recurringly having to deal with? And could it be that it is, in fact, a manifestation of an addiction of who you perceive yourself to be? Mike is suggesting that if we are able to see ourselves differently, think differently, be differently under the same circumstances, we would probably come up with different ways of handling those circumstances. So could it be that many of the problems, many of the challenges that the world faces at the moment are precisely a function of our addiction, a function of our addiction to self, to this idea of self? And that perhaps if we had a looser relationship with this idea of identity, that maybe we would be giving ourselves a chance of solving many of the problems that are out there by adapting, by being innovative, by being creative. You know, I was looking at the calamity that the people of Dubai are facing at the moment, as the incessant rain that has happened because of their technological advancements, we are told. The ability to literally make rain, cloud seeding, I think is the name of the technology. And it has resulted in real chaos. But what has happened is that the idea that Dubai is essentially in a desert, or it is a desert, has in one fell swoop being changed by what we're seeing at the moment. I mean, we literally have a little ocean right in the desert. And the conversation about you can change what you've always been understood to be in a moment is becoming real to me, because I would have never thought that a desert can suddenly flood like that. I would have never thought about it. So a little bit of innovation, I suppose, maybe a lot of innovation and a lot of creativity has led to this calamitous situation. So The question then becomes, Mike, as much as we can use our creativity, our innovativeness, innovation, our adaptability for good, is it possible that it can happen for bad too?
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, all the time, right? I mean, the biggest problem we face in the world is ourselves, isn't it? So we have to choose. I mean, you think about the identity there as well. There's an identity. I mean, I don't want to pick sides necessarily, but I guess I'll pick sides. It's, you know, there's an identity that thinks that it's okay to use up all the world's resources, you know, for wealthy people to benefit. And there's an identity that doesn't believe that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's an identity that there's a way to approach the world that doesn't ignore global warming and believe it's a hoax. And there's an identity that actually takes account of it. We have, as I think we all know, the huge amount of information that is constantly, you know, existing now. It's all generated by ourselves. You know, there 100 years ago, there was about every 100 years, the amount of information in the world doubled. About 50 years ago, that reached a point of every year, and now it's twice a day, roughly. The amount of information available to us doubles twice a day now. That's gone up that fast. And I mean, where's that information coming from? It's all stuff we're generating, right? Mm. And information itself is becoming, you know, we are becoming a situation where we have to adapt to not just the physical things like the flooding in Dubai you're talking about, you know, not just like global warming, which we caused in the first place, or maybe we didn't, who knows, but like we have to adapt constantly faster and faster and faster. It's our own fault, right? Because we didn't have to adapt as quickly in the past because we didn't have things that didn't change so much, you know? So now we're in a situation where, you know, okay, you never thought that it would flood in Dubai. I don't know. Nobody seems to know why it's happening. They're saying it's not cloud seeding. They were looking at that and said, is it global warming? What is it? Nobody knows why it's happening. But it seems to be that there's a lot of things happening differently in the physical world. But accompanied with that is this incredible flood of human-generated information. And about human-generated, of course, I mean, AI may be generating it now. Your refrigerator is generating it, you know. If you have a smartphone, it's generating information of its own. And all that information is stuff that didn't need to exist before people, you know. It doesn't really drive the planet, you know. It's just information that we made. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, there's a lot of bad we can do by constantly creating stuff. If we don't create, you know, we've created global warming. If we have, we've created war. We've, you know, that doesn't just exist by itself, right? So yeah, there's nothing necessarily good about creating, but adapting is kind of a little bit safer because you don't yet have the thought or the action, right? So you kind of, I guess there's a little more room to do it safely.
I want to
take. There's nothing necessarily good about creativity, right? It can be used for evil as well.
I want to take some calls. 011-883-0702. Do you have a particular challenge that persists, that just doesn't want to go away? Could it be that perhaps it is as a result of the addiction to the self that you are at the moment? Could it be? I think Mike is suggesting that. Mike is also suggesting that who you are at the moment is something that can change. So perhaps we need to challenge the very idea that there is the absolute me that cannot change. Ducky the tutor on the WhatsApp line says, "Hi, Aubrey. For over a decade, I sat on the sidelines living in a foreign country because I thought the system was designed to work against me. Years later, I learned I had to work on the very system. My problems are behind me now. I act and think very differently, and I have never looked back," says Ducky the tutor. Wow, that's amazing. I'm going to ask you this question after taking this call, Mike, and I'd like for you to sort of let it percolate as you answer Noni's call. Is there one reality? Is there an immutable reality that we are all in, that we are influencing, or are we finding ourselves in multiple realities that are constantly unfolding all the time? I'd be interested to hear your thoughts about that. Noni is in Johannesburg. Hi, Noni.
Good evening, Aubrey. I would like to request the name of the book that your guest mentioned a few minutes ago. Like, it has a habit in the name.
Yes, yes. Mike, you, if you can, perhaps go ahead. Why, Noni? Is there a specific insight?
I don't know. I think it will be the book that I'll be interested to read, you know?
Indeed, indeed. The addiction to self, I think, is what Mike was talking about. Mike?
It's breaking the habit of being yourself.
Ah. Breaking the habit of being yourself.
Breaking.
Yes. Breaking the habit of being yourself. Who is the author, please, Mike?
Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Lovely book. Really good book.
I'm curious, Noni. Please don't go away. I'm curious as to what was it about what was said about the book that has triggered your curiosity in this way.
To be honest, I haven't been listening. I've been busy doing other things.
Okay. Okay.
So I didn't really hear the rest of what they had to say.
Yeah.
But I know what you're talking about. But I haven't really been listening. I've been between different rooms in the house, and the radio is there. Blah blah blah.
Yeah. So you're doing some of the passive listening, Noni. No, I understand. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Enjoy the book. Maybe you'll give us a call at some point.
Breaking the habit of
being yourself by Dr. Joe Dispenza.
While we've got Noni, should we see if we can help her solve a problem?
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike. What question would you want Noni to tell you about, or what issue would you want to raise with Noni?
Well, basically, Noni, I'm just asking, is there something that you're struggling to solve that's been something you're struggling to solve for a long time that you keep, you know, you can't come up with ideas of how you should fix it, or the ideas you come up with don't work? Anything like that?
The line is not very clear.
So what Michael is asking you, Noni, is, are there aspects of your life, or is there a specific thing in your life that you are really trying to solve but seems to be a recurring challenge for you?
Not really. Mm. It's just that sometimes...
That's fantastic.
Sometimes, you know, after reading and getting more information,
sure.
person can be a better version of themselves.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Well, it appears to me, Mike, that Noni is the proverbial seeker of truth, yeah? Wanting to better themselves. Noni, thank you so much for your call. Much appreciated. But back to my question, Mike. Is there an ultimate reality, a single absolute reality out there, or are we caught up in multiple realities, multiverses, multiple possibilities that are constantly unfolding?
Well, my man, I don't know. I only experienced the one, but what I think I've experienced in the work that I've done with people, and also my own experience of life, is that we are influencing reality in our thoughts and our actions and the way we do things. We can bend reality with our minds. Is there more than one of them happening? How would we know? I don't know how we'd find out. I mean, there's theories about that, but I'm not the guy to answer that question, because I don't know. I've only experienced the reality I've experienced, but what I do know is that my experience of reality has many different, in a different way of answering your question. My experience of reality, and this is really important around this topic, is completely changes reality, you know?
Yeah.
Each of us has such a different experience of reality. So when you talk about multiple realities, like a multiverse, I don't know. I mean, I've seen the movies, but if you talk about multiple realities, like each one of us experiences a different world than the other person, that's for sure, right? And that's, again, why adaptability is so critical, because we are more and more and more forced to deal with not just more information, but more people, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like 200 years ago, you might meet 200 people in your entire life, you know? Now you have that many people liking your Facebook post if you're not even that popular. So it's like you meet millions of people over the course of your life now. You have to interact with so many more different kinds of people from so many much different perspectives. You know, 50 or 100 years ago, not only did you not meet a lot of people, but most of them were a lot like you because they all lived in the same town with you or whatever, right? So there is a number, I think it's around 140, that they've determined is the number where democracy breaks down, because you can't any longer know everybody properly and actually agree with each other. So to me, that's where the interesting answer is to your question about multiple realities, is that is what we're living in, because every single human being is in a different reality than the other, you know? Mm-hmm. And that is the problem with collaborative creativity, with collaborative innovation, is how do we actually come to the same place and work together? We have to adapt. It goes right back to the beginning, right? So I don't know if that was the intention of your question.
I wanted to go wherever it goes. And I suppose that's the big challenge that we have at the moment as humanity. How do we get some sort of coalescence, some sort of ability to work in tandem with each other? I mean, as you pointed out, the big crisis in Gaza at the moment. How do we create an environment that is going to bring about sober minds and all of that, so that we don't continue to bring out the results that are as a result of our addiction to a particular identity. I love that whole idea. By the way, give us a call, 011-883-0702. We're talking creativity. We're talking, creativity, the different way of thinking other than your current self. We're talking about innovation, a different way of doing other than your current self, and adaptability. Yeah, just being different. 011-883-0702. My guest is Michael Lee, multiple TEDx speaker and a guru as far as issues of creativity are concerned. Please give us a call. Let me go straight to the lines. Charlene is in Mitchell's Plain. Good evening to you, Charlene.
Hi, Aubrey. Hi, Mike.
Go ahead. Good evening to you.
How are you guys doing?
Good, man. Good.
It's been a while, Aubrey.
Yeah, indeed.
I'm actually retiring the end of this year.
Yeah.
So it's a huge challenge for me, because me being blind.
Yeah.
And my working, so I can still do a lot. So what do I do with myself next year? So I have a few ideas, but sometimes you have these challenges, and then you overcome it, but you don't overcome it as easy as some other people might, but
yeah,
it's a bit tougher. Mm. But at the end of the day, the challenges are making, and you know me, Aubrey, I'm a very strong person. But I don't know this one. I don't know, because it touches on the fact of my livelihood. So, how am I going to survive?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So yes, and my age and all that. So what do I do now? So I want to ask Mike.
Yeah.
I have a lot of creative juices in me. I do writing. I do a lot of always motivate people and so on and whatever and so on, but I haven't done it to earn money. I mean, I give of myself freely.
Yeah. Hey, maybe that's the problem, Charlene. Eh?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just a giver, free giver.
Yeah. All right.
Yes, I would like Mike to give me some ideas, some whatever you think.
And this, I suppose, Charlene, is the next sort of chapter of your life.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is. And it's the first time, Aubrey, through all my trials and tribulations that I've been through, this is the one that's giving me the hugest headache.
Yeah.
Because I've always been so resilient. I've bounced back from a lot of things. And I mean, I can write a book on all the things that happened in my life.
Mm.
But this hurdle, oh my word, It's I'm not saying I'm stressed about it, but I'm just a bit anxious.
I understand, Charlene.
Yeah.
I'm going to let Michael respond to that. Mike, do you want to respond now, or can I take another call from another caller?
Well, let me just ask Charlene quickly. Sure. When you're talking about the anxiety that you're feeling, what is the source of the anxiety for you?
My source of anxiety is, I'm used to a certain kind of lifestyle. And will I be able to sustain that with whatever it is I'm going to do in future? What is out there for me? I'm already putting my feelers out. So I don't know what is going to happen, but I also have this thing where I tell myself things will work out for the best. And I must just let life happen. And it is the first time that I'm anxious about letting life happen.
What's interesting, and this might be a helpful thing, because I know we don't have a long time right now, and you said there's more callers, What would happen, Charlene, if you can get the thought you're having, right? That on the one hand, you're anxious because you're not sure what's going to happen and you're worried you might not be able to support yourself and so on, right? On the other hand, you've got this idea of like, let life happen, and maybe that would, if you just let life happen, it will take you someplace interesting, right?
Yes.
Both of those thoughts are just thoughts, right? Neither one has anything to do with reality whatsoever.
Yes. They're not just thoughts you're having. Yes.
Yeah. So and this is, Aubrey, what you were asking before about multiple realities.
Yeah.
Our thoughts do impact what happens, right? Because we begin to attract the things that go along with our thoughts. So if you have, Charlene, the repetitive thought that I don't know that I'm going to be able to support myself, you will find evidence of the problems with that. You will come across things that reinforce your the fact that you're not going to be able to do that. When you have thoughts that, I'll just let life unfold and I'll follow along and there'll be an adventure and I'll learn something new, then that will happen. It will happen if you consistently. But what happens if you're alternating between those two is what most of us are living like most of the time, is we doubt something, then we think it's okay, we go for it, we stop and go backwards. And you end up in the middle of those two things, believing that those two things somehow go together when in fact they're two, opposing thoughts that are giving you a reality of conflict, right? And that would give you anxiety, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. It would. Yes, it makes sense.
Yep.
It makes sense, right?
So the simple solution I want to suggest that you can try out, right, is when we talk about adaptability, right, we have to roll the thought back. And again, it would take a few more minutes, but roll that thought back to where it came from. And inside you, there's many ways of being that you've learned over your life. But one of them is, concern about your safety. The other is being adventurous and excited, right?
Yes.
And those two things are fighting with each other. And you know the old story about the two wolves? You know, that's the old story? I'm sure Aubrey does.
Yep.
Yep.
You know that one, Charlene?
Yep.
Two wolves are fighting in your consciousness, and the one that you feed the most is the one that wins.
That is going to survive the fight.
Charlene, thanks very much for your call.
You want to stop having anxiety, Charlene? The answer is to stop thinking about the problem that you might have that you don't have yet, and start focusing on how you can really connect to the excitement of the adventure that you see there. How you can do that, it's complex, and there's a lot of methods. But that's where I'd start.
Charlene in Mitchell's Plain, thanks very much for your call. Good luck,
Mike.
Yeah?
Thank you very much.
Much appreciated. Richard is in Plumstead in Cape Town. Hi, Richard.
Evening, Aubrey and Mike.
Yeah,
I just want to give my opinion on creativity.
Yep.
I believe that creativity is preceded by curiosity, and all children are curious, but unfortunately some of the curiosity is educated at them by the system.
Mm.
And I believe we should change our system to make sure it's not educated at them by the system.
How do we change the system?
Oh, that's difficult. We must make sure the subjects that are taught. Firstly, I believe we should teach a subject called Why Do We Want to Learn Anything? For example, when I was 4.5, I asked my father what that light was in the sky. He actually told me he didn't know, but he told me where we could find it. He'd take me to the library on the weekend. That started my lifelong interest in astronomy.
Interesting. Mike? Change the system so that we don't remove the curiosity from children?
Old story. The education system historically has not been a great place for creativity to get cultivated, right? There's certain types of education that have been developed against that to support it. But yeah, I mean, spot on. The school system, the society we've lived in, everything has been indicated to try to make us, you know, do things the way that works, that we've learned it works. It's the same thing that leads, the root of it all, though, to me, really is that addiction to self that we've developed as human beings, because it makes us feel safe. I think Charlene kind of shows that in her own way there, right? She's stuck in the old paradigm of worrying about that things are changing, so maybe it's not going to work out. And that gives that anxiety. In fact, there's another part of her that's excited about the change, right? And the curiosity Richard's talking about is that curiosity connects to that, because change is scary, but it's also, if you're curious about the change, if you approach everything with curiosity and say, I wonder what's going to happen now, right? Rather than I'm scared of what might happen now. Because the minute we have anxiety, it's because we're placing a negative future in front of us, right? That we're worried about. Whereas if we're curious, we're open to seeing what happens. So it does become, you know, a much more pleasant experience, and definitely something that children do very naturally, because they don't have years of experience of what's going to go wrong, right? So their fears are very in the moment. Their fears are the real things, like I might fall down and hurt myself, or you know, I might not eat because I'm hungry, but they don't think about next year and the problems they're going to have. You know, that only gets taught into us later. But it's not just school doing it, right? It's every force of human nature that we've learned over the course of centuries and millennia, like, has been taught to us to look for security by you know, doing things the way they've been done successfully in the past. But that doesn't work anymore, and that's the scary part for people. If they're not adaptable, if they're not curious, if they're not interested in being present in the moment and seeing how to surf that moment. I mean, that's the dangerous place now.
Yeah. Richard, thanks very much for your call. Brings me back to the question that I asked. You know, I mean, we have political, philosophical, social conversations that ultimately talk about the system. And, you know, some people will say it's the industrial complex, it's the financial, it's the cultural, and it goes back to the question that I was asking: is there one reality that we are all grappling with, as different entities, as it were, or are the different entities and their perception, their consciousness, their awareness, the reality that all of us are sort of, in other words, different realities colliding with each other, creating this chaos that we call reality? Or is there a central thing that is going on that is perhaps being tainted by the way that we perceive, that we do, that could be brought back to center again, and we could have the proverbial perfection?
You want me to answer that?
Yeah.
I only know what I've seen happening in front of my own eyes, just like you or anybody else. And, you know, we can get into theoretical physics. And the book I referenced from Joe Dispenza talks about quantum reality, the nature that reality only occurs as a set of possibilities, right? And that really, like, the whatever possibility might manifest at this moment is not necessarily the only possibility that could manifest, the same way that we've learned that an atom is not, you know, a couple of particles going in circles like planets. It's particles that jump from one place to another without passing through space, particles that don't exist one moment and exist the next moment, because we perceive them as human beings. When we perceive things, they exist. And when we don't perceive them, apparently that thing about a tree falling in a forest is somehow true in quantum physics. If a tree falls in a forest, and in fact, it didn't fall because nobody perceived it. So there's a whole mind bending world there, but I don't think most people are going to benefit from trying to figure out if there's a multiverse, unless they get into quantum jumping or something where they can draw from the multiverse and bring it back to themselves. But what I do know, and I just emphasize it again, is that what brings us a multiple universe is our ability to create our world in our perceptions, in our actions, in our words. We change reality all the time, right? Whether there's two of them happening simultaneously in different places and there's three of me somewhere, I don't know. But what I do know is we have the power to end war. We have the power to stop fighting with our spouse. We have the power to make our job pleasant. When we complain about it, it's unpleasant. When we just actually accept for what it is, we have the power to shift it and make it different. That's the multiple universes I'm interested in, you know?
Resistance is suffering. Hey, Mike, listen, how do people get in?
Resistance is futile.
Yeah. tell me, how do people get in touch with you if they want to continue with this conversation and perhaps know a little bit more about some of the activities that are taking place in World Creativity Week?
Well, I'm going to actually give you, because I see we have enough time for me to do this. I'm going to actually give you, we're having an event tomorrow. It's going to be primarily online. The VIP in-person part it's a bit late for that. But tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in South African time, we're having an event online for 1 hour to celebrate World Creativity Week. We've got Dr. Tu Nakwe performing with us, myself and a guy named Jabu Zwane, who is mindset development expert. We're going to have a 1 hour session. We're going to announce a big project we're doing for later in the year around training entrepreneurs in a large group around World Entrepreneurship Week in November. That is happening tomorrow at 9. So instead of giving you a way to contact me directly like I normally would, I'm going to give you this address for the web, bit.ly/WCIW2024. So again, bit.ly/WCIW2024. It's all small letters. If you go to that, you can get a ticket for free to watch tomorrow's event. And also then that will put you in touch with us. But tomorrow's event's going to be really cool, Aubrey. So I hope people that are listening now will tune in, because it's going to be our commemoration for South Africa World Creativity Day, even though it's a couple of days early.
Michael Lee, multiple TEDx speaker and creativity guru. Thanks very much for joining us.